fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Monica Pope. Monica is the director of catechesis at St. Thomas Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She also has an amazing story. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them or download them, put them on your iPod. Listen to them whenever it's convenient. Monica began yesterday describing the story of really having a tremendous amount of dysfunction in her home and her family, but also in the late 60s, early 70s, being kind of caught up into the drug culture and acting out and rebelling, which a lot of young people went through at that time and young people still do today. But also, she talked about how she struggled with her faith. She's going to pick up today where we left off yesterday. That is, she was just 17 years old and pregnant and about to graduate from high school. Welcome back, Monica.
I'm glad to be here, Peter. Thank you so much. So, yeah, yesterday I had talked about graduating from high school, girls' Catholic high school, 5.5 months pregnant. The next 4 or 5 years were really just so much of a free fall. My experience and participation in the drug culture was really dialed up without a sense of hope. That was where I got relief.
When did you begin to deal with the drug problem, or how did you try to deal with that?
So I was in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble with the law and just a lot of trouble with my family and just really inside myself. I had really nobody to blame. And I knew that. I had nobody to blame for the ways, you know, that my days and weeks were turning out. I actually went to 12-step program terrified of like legal consequences before I was 21. I started to get clean and sober before I was ever even legal to drink. And so I did. My first 12-step meeting was just, it was a real God moment. I sat around this table with a lot of people and people told their stories and I wasn't sure if they could help me. And when they called on me to say something, I said to them, I don't know if you can help me. I'm just going to tell you how it was. And I started to say how it was, what my days were like, what my life was like, what my relationships were like, what a week in my life looked like. And I just talked and talked and I had my head down and I was crying and I watched. It's still so clear in my mind. I watched the tears fall onto the legs of my jeans. I was just like, you know, soaking the tops of my jeans with my crying and saying how alone I was and how much I had messed things up, and looked up around the table. Peter, every single person was there shaking their heads. People were crying, but they were all nodding their heads that they understood. And I was astonished. And a man reached across the table toward me to shake my hand. And he said to me, Monica, I promise you that if you find God who has already found you, you will never have to feel this way again. And I looked at him and he grabbed my hand and he said, welcome home.
Wow.
That I was going to stay. I wasn't going anywhere. I wanted to belong to some place, to people who, what did I want then? I wanted to belong to a community of believers. That's what I wanted. A community. Not a couple of separate people that were kind of on our own. And I wanted a community of believers. And that's who they were. Now, I wasn't ready for the full message. I still got into bad relationships and I had 2 more children out of wedlock. I was still dysfunctional and broken and God was still loving me more intensely than ever. Because without all of the euphemism of partying, my conscience was intact. My behavior bothered me badly. Thanks be to God. It's one of the great gifts. My mother used to say to me when I was a teenager, she used to say, I can't make you stop doing what you're doing. My prayer is that my voice haunts you all the time. And it did. And it was her voice and the voice of God and the Holy Spirit and even sometimes the Blessed Mother. I was burdened by my guilt. Thanks be to God. That was such a great gift.
At that time, you know, were you experiencing the realization of, yes, my life really is unmanageable?
Oh, yes.
Because of decisions I've made.
Absolutely. And Peter, yes. Mm-hmm. The harder part for me was that in this community, this fellowship now, a lot of people were positing their unmanageability back to their drinking and drugging days. My unmanageability followed me right into like clean and sober time. I had created as much wreckage in the first few years of not using as I had in all of the years previously of using and drinking, using drugs and drinking.
Well, how did that change?
Well, that was the Lord, because it wasn't going to be me. Because I felt like I couldn't figure out what was driving me. The word brokenness had not even come into my vocabulary. There was the Catholic theological words of original sin and concupiscence. They didn't speak to me at the time. I needed the words that said, you are so broken. Okay, but I didn't have those words.
Because you could look around and say, well, all kinds of people, everybody's got original sin and everybody's got concupiscence.
Exactly.
But they're not wrecking their life like I'm wrecking my life.
Peter,
what's going on?
That was so it. Absolutely. You said that perfectly. Thank you. So God was his moment to stoop down and reach down and to lift me up was just astonishing and beautiful. I had three children. I had two children and I was pregnant with my third. I was alone. I was poor. And we had almost no food in our house. My oldest was in kindergarten. And my baby was almost two years old. And so what I would do at nighttime was I would fill up his bottle with water. And I would put just enough milk in it so that it would look like it was white. He would wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd give him this bottle, and he would go back to sleep.
You couldn't afford the milk?
No. Okay. We had, and I'm sure that there were programs, and I didn't know about any of them. So one particular night in March, I was 8 months pregnant. He woke up and there was nothing but one can of pinto beans, plain pinto beans in the house. There was no milk. And he wouldn't take a bowl of water. So I put him in the high chair and I opened up this can of beans and I rinsed them off and I put them on his high chair tray and he started to pick them up and eat them. And that was it. We had no food. After that, what was left in the can and what was on his high chair tray, that was all the food we had. And I didn't know what to do. We were days away from the beginning of the month. Food stamps day. Mm-hmm. My older son came in. So I've got this five-year-old standing in the kitchen doorway. And he looked at me. And he said to me, something's wrong, isn't it, Mommy? I said, I don't know. And he sat down at the table, and I put some beans on a saucer for him, and he was eating them too. So it's 2:30 in the morning. I have two children eating beans, and when they're gone, oh, we have no food. And it's days before food. I didn't. So I put them to bed, and I laid in bed, and I was afraid, and I was sad, and I was guilty, and I cried. And I prayed to God, who I was certain had abandoned me to all of my sins. I believed that I was getting exactly what I deserved. When you said, you know, you look at the people around and their lives are not like this, I thought that I was especially singled out to be particularly unloved by God, not ignored, but an active dislove, dislike by God. And that I was getting exactly what I deserved. But that, God, my kids don't deserve this. And I'm not asking you to do this for me. I'm asking you to do this for them. We have no food. And I cried, and at some point I fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning, and I didn't send my oldest to school. I just let him sleep because they had no food. If they're sleeping, they're not hungry. We had no breakfast. I had no lunch to pack him. I didn't know what to do. And I cried and I prayed again. You can do anything you want to me, God, but please don't do this to my kids. And less than an hour later, there was a knock at my door. There was a woman there who didn't like me. We had a lot of acrimony between the two of us. And I see her face and she's scowling. And I open the door thinking, oh, this could it get worse? And she thrusts two bags of groceries at me. And she said, I was just thinking that at the end of the month, things get pretty hard around here. And I started to cry. And she looked so confused. I said, we had no food. So she started to cry. So there's the two of us standing on my front step, crying. And she just shook her head and she said, well, God does weird things. And she went away. It is true that I remember every item of groceries that was in those two grocery bags. The one of them, there were white powdered donuts in that bag. My 5-year-old son hadn't eaten a white powdered donut since, our relatives were in town, you know. I carried these groceries up. I put them on the kitchen table. I opened up the bags, and I knew that they were from God. I knew they were. It was so personal.
Yeah. And then your relationship with God began to go to a whole new level. And that moment of brokenness is step one in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
God brought you white powdered donuts, brought your kids white powdered donuts. That's pretty wild. That's so beautiful. Yeah. It's a wonderful story. Friends, there's a whole lot more to this story. And those who are listening today, maybe you're running up against a lot of personal difficulty in your life and you feel like God's far away, or like Monica, you feel like you're getting what you deserve. And there's more to the story there. God is not out to punish you. He's out to love you and to help you. And he's going to do just that. Continue to cry out to him. Follow his lead. And he'll bring you home. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.